Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, Geek Book Club. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. We've got like the nerdapalooza of updates on sci-fi, sci-lit. Thank you very much. And then we're going to talk about Altered Carbon. So spoilers ahead for sure. If you haven't listened to or read or watched Altered Carbon and you want to, definitely save this one for later. Cool. And welcome back.
Yes. A couple of weeks later than we'd originally anticipated, but we're here.
Yeah. All sorts of life happening.
Mm-hmm. Work and then vacation.
Yes. That's right. Cool. So you've got a bunch of great news on the sci-fi front.
Yeah, well, I mean, a mix of good and bad.
Oh yeah, there's some bad.
Sci-Fi Channel has announced that they are not renewing the Expanse TV show for a fourth season.
That seems so crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sci-Fi is notorious for shooting themselves in the foot when they have a good show, and for this is par for the course for them, really. Mm-hmm. So, they did the same thing with the Dresden Files TV show a few years ago, which also made me very sad.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it if not a million people are watching The Expanse, but it's so good.
It is. And season three especially has been just great.
Here's the thing about it that drives me crazy, and I wonder if this has contributed to their demise, but they insist on doing this, like, release one show a week thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes it hard to get sucked in.
Yeah, yeah, they're still stuck in the cable TV model.
Right. And yeah, appointment TV, come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, release them all. I don't know. I mean, I get the argument for both sides, but that's over. It's like,
yes, but there is good news to that, in that Sci-Fi does not own all of the rights to the show. Alcon Entertainment retained that and covers the majority of the production cost, because they have revenue for the show coming in from other streams as well. So there's a potential that it could continue on in some way or be picked up by someone else. So
yeah, in one of our Slack rooms, someone shared a link to a change.org petition, which just seemed like a funny use of that. But change.org petition for Netflix or Amazon to buy the rights to the show.
It's got like 90,000 signatures now.
Yeah, that's good, but that's not a lot. That's not a...
I know. It seems like a lot, but when you're talking about television show viewership, it's not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee you that show is expensive to make.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, 90,000 people, I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. Hope for the best. But at least we'll always have the books.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a new Expanse novella coming out sometime this summer, I believe. And then
awesome.
The next book, I believe, is due in December. And then there will be one more after that.
Cool.
And then James S. A. Corey, Ty and Daniel have agreed to, they are doing another sci-fi space trilogy set in a different universe after the Expanse books are done.
Hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Interesting to say the least, right? I mean, talk about like, how do you follow up after it's like a grand
right,
slam.
Exactly.
Like, how could you not have sophomore slump? But it's so good, and it's two people, and you've got was it Daniel Abramson?
Daniel Abrams and Ty Frank. Yes.
Yeah. He's been a writer forever and ever, and
I think he wrote for Game of Thrones for a while.
Yeah. So he knows how to show up and do his job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't really know Ty Frank's background, but he certainly, I guess he's the one that created the Expanse world in the first place for like a game.
Yeah.
So obviously a very creative dude.
Yes. And speaking of games, there is an Expanse board game that's out that I own and have played and enjoy. And there is an RPG coming out, like a pen and paper RPG coming out in August.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
And finally, to wrap this up, since I mentioned Dresden Files earlier, Peace Talks is finally coming out later this year.
Oof, thank.
I don't think they've announced an initial release date yet, but Jim Butcher gave an interview a while ago that said he'd would finish up writing around April, and then it was going to the publisher or the editor rather. Mm. So we should hopefully see that by the end of the year.
Fingers crossed. I mean, that has mm-hmm. been like 3 years, two yeah. and a half.
Yeah. I, from what I gather, he had a lot of real life get in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens. But man, fingers crossed for that. And then that would be, that's, is that 19?
It's 17, isn't
17.
It?
17. You're right. You're
16. Right. 16 or 17.
Okay. And he's has said in the past he's going to do 20, although it's hard to imagine. Yeah. You got to imagine it's like, all right, I'm done with this, you know?
Done with Harry, yeah.
Right.
Like, so, I totally wouldn't blame him, and I wouldn't be upset if he wrapped it up early as long as it got a good ending.
Right, yeah.
Because at this point, I'd rather have it end well than wait forever for books that never come.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't, and I don't envy the job of ending that series because I don't even know how I want it to happen. You know, it's like you sort of want a happy ending, but that doesn't fit.
Right.
So, all right. That's a lot of stuff. We'll put all that in the show notes for people who are interested in those sorts of things. But there's going to be no shortage of stuff to read this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. All right. So Altered Carbon.
Yes.
I didn't realize this, but this was written in 2002.
Yeah, it's been around a while.
Yeah. And I guess I only heard of it recently because of the TV show.
Yeah, same. And it's actually the first book in a trilogy.
Yes. Which, okay. So that's interesting because I'm like, I don't know if this is jumping to the end, but I kind of don't care about the characters. So like start off the bat, like, did you like the book?
I would give the book a solid 4 out of 5.
I'm with you there.
I liked it quite a bit.
Yep.
For some reason, it's a long book, but it took me forever to get through it, longer than it should have for a book of that length. And I don't know why, because I enjoyed the story. The writing was very good.
Yep.
I don't know, but just like... I liked it a lot, but I could only take it in small chunks.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So now I listened to it, which is, I'm coming to be highly conscious of the different experience of listening to it and reading it. Listening to it's a lot more like watching a TV show. And I feel like I miss stuff, but mm-hmm. it keeps going and maybe I don't notice that I missed it. So, like, I retain less for sure when I listen to a book than when I read it. Cause we're also reading on paper The Lord of the Rings. And it's just my recall is much better about that with things like I can't even remember all the characters' names really quickly from listening. Cause you can't see how they're spelled. And it's different. It's like much more passive experience.
Yeah, I started listening to it, and I got about a chapter into it, and I was like, no, I'm going to have to read this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was losing too much.
Yep, yeah. So, did you... The thing that I liked the best about it was the kind of the overall picture it painted. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of a... I guess we should do a little, like... little plot synopsis or something for folks who haven't read it and aren't planning to. So it takes place in the future, like
25 somewhere.
Is it 25?
Yeah, I think it might even be farther than that.
It's pretty far in the future.
25, yeah.
And the core premise of the book, the core technology of the book, is that people have these cortical stack implants at the base of their skull that
basically download your brain.
Yeah, it's like where your all of your personal, it's like where you are.
Yeah, it's like a real-time backup of your brain.
Mm-hmm. So if you get, now I see I'm already forgetting, like if you get killed, not real death, but if your physical body gets killed, they just take the stack out and they can put it into, they re-sleeve you. It's kind of like, it reminded me in a lot of ways, like getting into a different car. So like your body's yeah. like a car and.
Yeah. It's just a physical thing you happen to be in at the moment.
Right. And it, you know, and has certain, you know, if it's a junker, it's sort of embarrassing. And if it's like a total sports car, you're like, check me out. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're totally going to, the quality of your sleep is totally going to depend on your socioeconomic class.
Right. Like people have a sleep mortgage.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a whole, I mean, okay. So before, so the core premise is that this is a thing and that it's actually kind of important too that like Catholics don't allow, like Catholics have the believe stack, but they believe that they will not be granted entrance to heaven if they re-sleeve. So they just keep them on ice, so to speak, which is a important part of the plot. So there's that. And then, okay. So then,
and the sleeves, your sleeves also have like sort of, cybernetic enhancements of physical bodies are a thing that exists as well.
Yeah, there's also, I mean, there's flying cars. There's all, it's like, yeah. It's like very Blade Runner-y. There's lots of tech. There's some fancy guns, but there's no such thing as a laser, I don't think. There's some,
there's some energy weapons, but I don't think it's like specifically a laser.
Right. Yeah. It's not like Star Trek, you know, yeah. But there's some pretty heavy duty guns.
Yeah. I pictured him as being like closer to a PPG from Babylon 5 where he just fires like, In that particular instance, they fire superheated plasma.
Right. So yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know, normal stuff. Yeah. And there is space travel, but it's not really part of the book.
Right.
And so.
And I guess.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I guess it's also possible to like beam the data that's stored in your stack to like beam it across the galaxy from one planet to another and that sort of thing. Like they don't have to physically send your stack, they can just do a data transfer to an empty one.
Yep, they do that. And that is part of that's actually another big plot point where sort of business people, if they need to be somewhere else, like far away, they'll just needle cast their consciousness to a different sleeve somewhere else, you know, like telepresence. And they also do it. Yeah. And they also do it with soldiers because they do mention at one point space travel, you know, space is big. And if there was something going on in a colony, the uprising would be over before any troops got there.
Right. So you just have to hope you have a lot of empty sleeves and beam your soldiers into them.
Right. And like you said, the bodies that they get beamed into are, they have like, battle, what was it called? Combat grade battle, neurochem. Like
neurochem. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have enhanced senses because it's wild. And this is actually, they did this pretty well in the movie, the TV show too.
Yeah. I've just started the show.
Cool. Yeah. The show does not stick to the book as much as I'd like, but it's definitely good. It's definitely worth watching.
Yeah. I wanted to wait until we talked about the book before I really got into the show. So I didn't confuse the two.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I did not do that and it is confusing. So when you first re-sleeve in the book, this description I thought was fantastic. Like when you first get into a new body, like they like don't want to go near a mirror at first. And you have to kind of mentally prepare yourself. And then you go to the mirror and you're like, all right, what do I look like? And he does this great description of like, you look in the mirror and there's complete stranger. And then there's this experience of floating up behind the eyes in the mirror and becoming the face. And I was like, there's a whole bunch of really great passages in the book that have to do with the disconnect between the consciousness not being in its original body.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, like there are two characters. there's a big spoiler, but there's this one character. How do you even say this? One character who's in love with this other character, but then somebody else's stack gets put into the other character. So now, so like lady's in love with guy's body, but different dude is inside the body.
Yeah.
But the dude inside the body, his body is attracted to her. He's not necessarily into her right. at all, but his body, he's like, what is going on? He's like, I'm completely vibing on this lady, but I don't even know her.
Right.
Because he doesn't know that he's in her her boyfriend's ex body. So super, super wild. All sorts of like subtle little things like that that I thought were super fun. But we haven't even gotten to the plot yet. So the idea is super rich guy who's been alive for hundreds of years by transplanting himself into new bodies gets killed. and he finds a what's called an envoy, which are kind of like special forces, like elite yeah. soldiers. He finds one who's been put on ice for crimes and brings him back, puts him in a sleeve to sort of do a detective thing and figure out who killed him. That's the premise right. of the book.
And he's basically. Almost property at that point.
Yes. Right. Like, who owns the body? Not the right. dude. So the protagonist is Takashi Kovac.
Yes.
And he's the envoy,
the envoy,
detective yeah. that gets pulled. I keep wanting to see gets pulled from the future. He really got pulled from the past.
Yeah, he really did. I think he was serving out something like a 150-year sentence, and in terms of time that his consciousness has been active, he's only like in his mid-30s, but he's been in storage for something like 100 years.
Right. So you come back and, you know, the world's a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Very uncomfortable.
He's from another planet.
Right. That's right. They don't really talk about that on the show very much, but yeah. So boom, here you are you're pulled from the past. You time travel basically to the future. And this dude, okay. So this gets into some really interesting socioeconomic stuff. So mm-hmm. this dude, Lawrence Bancroft, he's the rich guy, but we're not talking like rich, like Warren Buffett. This guy is beyond rich, beyond what you could imagine, because he's
had centuries to accumulate wealth.
Yeah. And power and
influence. And yeah.
Right. And so they get, because they call him Meth, like Methuselah from the Bible. And they are hard to kill because they have all of these, they have so much money that they can do things that
remote backup
of your brain. So they'll do like and clones of your original sleeve. So you can keep on resleeving in yourself. So you don't get any of the weirdness and all of that.
Right.
So what happens is they'll be sitting or whatever, they're having a conversation, they're sitting around, and all of a sudden, you know, the person's eyes will flutter for like 2 seconds, and it's their backup needle casting to some storage facility. So you could kill, so the person who's sitting in front of you at lunch, you could blow their brains out. And
yeah, you could even destroy their physical stack, which normally is what really legitimately ends you.
Right. Like normally that would end you because nobody can afford to, most people can't afford to have backups of it. So
Lawrence Bancroft gets shot in the head.
Right. With some sort of energy weapon. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a special kind of energy weapon that's specifically great at real deathing you, mm-hmm. which means destroying the stack. And so the mystery is, why would somebody do that? You know, it was done with a gun that only his wife could have had access to. So either his wife killed him. It's like the locked room mystery. Either mm-hmm. his wife killed him or he killed himself.
And, but he has no memory because his remote backup, of course, never experienced those memories.
Right. Because the backup's 48 hours old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I totally guessed the ending because of that. I was like, that I know he offed himself because he wanted to forget something he did in the last 2 days. I knew it. Yeah. I was like positive that's what it was. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I kind of figured that too, but I would not have, like, just the depth that went into to get to that point.
Mm. Yeah, it was still a good story. Yeah. But the twist was like, I saw it coming a mile away, which yeah. is rare because I usually don't think like that. But it was such a database backup thing. I was like, it was so mm-hmm. obvious. Like, oh, well. I did. But it was a clear motive. Like, it was like, why would this guy kill himself? It's like, well, because he did something he wanted to forget. And he was clearly not a great person. Like,
right.
there were
yeah.
a lot of things you knew right away that he had his hands in some dirty business and personal behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, this is not a book for children.
Correct. Not a show for kids either. There's a lot of noodle frontity, if you know what I mean. So there's toward the beginning of the book, there's the author explores like a lot of the possibilities that would crop up if you could do this, if you could move mm-hmm. your consciousness from body to body. And one of the things was double sleeving. So
yeah, which does come up later in the book.
Yeah, it comes up a couple of times. There's like a there's like a crazy sex thing, like like with multi-sleeved. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
I don't even want to. We can leave that out.
It was moments like that where I was going, I'm glad I switched to reading and not listening to the audiobook, because that would get awkward.
yeah. That was in like in terms of quality. I thought that some of those there were I think two or three pretty graphic lovemaking scenes that I thought were not this guy's strong suit, the author's strong suit.
They didn't really add to the story.
No. But the idea of taking your same consciousness and putting it in two bodies comes up at least three times in the book. And it's illegal, first of all, although I don't remember why, but it created this really cool dynamic where it was like, okay, both of these sleeves, imagine, okay, both of these, you've got your twin, like twin of all twins, like, you know, everything, you know, when you're lying, you know, when you're or fibbing, you can tell everything. You've got every memory and, you know, you've been alive for like 15 minutes but you feel like you've been alive for 30 years and you don't want to die. You don't care if you're the new one. You've got all the same like will to live as the original one.
Right. Like the instant you come into existence.
Yeah. Instantly.
And the instant you come into existence, you start diverging.
Yes. Also very cool. So yeah, there's this. I don't know. It's like, it's not worth going into, but that plays out all the way through, toward the end of the book, you know, like, you know, they can't both be alive. So they have to decide which one's not, which memories do we want to save? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was...
And at one point they're like, well, is there a way we can merge these?
Yep. Yeah. Like get merged.
Right. Get merged on your brain.
Yeah. I loved all those parts of the book when the author really thinks through the implications of this capability. It was real. I thought that was especially good. I was really into that.
Yeah. And I liked how a lot of the other technology in the book, like it was, like you said, it was a very Blade Runner-ish world, but it wasn't like he made a big deal out of going into pages and pages of exposition about this advanced technology. It was just kind of like, this is the world they live in.
It was it was background.
Yeah.
It occasionally came up. I can think of very few. Well, there's a lot of VR type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Your stack can also live in a virtual environment.
Right. So like let's say you're a criminal, you get killed or whatever. They'll take your stack and stuff it in a rack somewhere. And
I assume was a literal server rack.
Right. And then they can pull you into virtual for questioning if they have like a warrant or, you know, it's like the total cop story, lots of cop stuff. And, you know, this is, they pull you in and they'll question you in virtual. But it's so real that things can, you know, they can, you know, like you can be beaten up and tortured in virtual and it actually feels like it hurts because you don't know the difference. I mean, you know, you're in virtual, but it doesn't matter. It still hurts.
Right.
Mentally. So it's wild and they can keep doing it over and over. So like they can just torture you to insanity and then like reboot.
Yeah. Start over.
Yeah. So that comes up quite a bit, but okay. So here's my favorite piece of technology in the whole thing was the hotel.
Yeah. The Hendrix.
Mm-hmm. So in the TV show, they changed it to,
The Raven.
And I actually kind of liked the choice because the embodiment of the hotel is Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, I thought they did well with it in the TV show. I liked that change. I assume they originally did it for licensing reasons, but
could be. But I really
think it was a good change.
Yeah, it would have been weird, like if it was Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah,
it would have been too comical. But so the whole concept of the idea is that hotels are, how do you even describe it? The hotel is just an AI. It's like
like it's an automated AI.
Right. There's no, it owns itself somehow.
Right.
And it,
you get, like I got the sense, maybe I'm imagining it, but I got the sense reading somewhere in there that there was some kind of like legislation that had gone and had happened and made that a thing so that the AI could be like own itself, basically.
Yeah. Like there, it was briefly mentioned how it came to pass that AI hotels were a thing and that they gained their independence basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they used
but they're
to be
not super popular.
They're not popular at all, right? It was not a thing you did. But Kovac goes to stay in one at the very beginning, and it basically becomes his sidekick.
Yeah,
which is hilarious.
Crazy. Yeah,
and it's kind of like, I mean, never Alexa on steroids with machine guns mounted everywhere, and like
right.
and food, you know, just everything. It was like so cool.
Yeah, and the AI can interact with in VR, in virtual, with like someone's stack.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and other AIs.
Yeah,
and
other AIs.
And they just
don't they in the TV show, they have like, wasn't there one scene in like one of the early episodes where the AI is just like going there and like hanging out with other AIs?
Yeah,
and
they play cards.
Like giving him a hard time because he hasn't had any guests.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In the book, they say that someone mentions in the book that the AI hotels, you know, for them, having a guest is like an orgasm. It's like,
right. They want guests.
They want guests. It's like their reason for being, and guests don't go there. So when Kovac shows up, he's like, the hotel is super motivated to like get him to stay and to like have him be happy and stay as long as he can. And, you know, and Kovac is given a huge budget by the
Bancroft,
his client or his owner, really, to do whatever he wants. So it's almost like it's one of his superpowers as he goes around in the book is that he has crazy amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the hotel thing. And it even somehow it reminded me of, I was like watching the Google I.O. keynote, which was, I guess, last week at this point. And they hired John Legend to seed a machine learning algorithm so that they could basically put his voice on the assistant. So, you know, remember ringtones? Like, So this is kind of like that. Like, you want your Google Assistant to sound like James Earl Jones or John Legend or whatever.
I want the Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. So we totally called this when we were talked about on the episode when we were talking about the deepfakes stuff, where on the follow-up episode to that, we talked about people, artists and, you know, actors licensing their
image or their voice.
To just be repurposed. So like from now on, if you ever, if John Legend calls you and asks you to send him $150,
right. Or to schedule your hair appointment.
Yeah. No, I mean like spam. Like somebody, his wife can now no longer trust that when he calls her, it's actually him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is how it starts. Okay. So.
Yeah, they'll have to have a code.
Yeah. They need like a safe word. So, and it just reminded me of like, wow, the very beginning of like, of this kind of, you know, not anthropomorphized, but just humanized from a human AI.
It's like the technology is repurposing bits of us.
Right. Yes. They're merging with us. We are merging with them. And it seems like such a small, goofy thing. Like, oh, no, Google Assistant sounds like John Legend. Isn't that cool? What a great voice. Like, well, wait a second here. And in fact, there was... not about that specific piece of the announcement, but there was another piece of the announcement that people went freaked out about. Maybe we could do an episode on that. But so it just reminded me of like, I'm like, oh, and this ends up being a hotel, like John Legend Hotel.
Right, right. And it wants you to stay.
Yeah. Last night I was doing my best Gollum impression for Cooper.
Nice.
Toward the end of the Two Towers. So, okay, what else in the book was like super? Yeah, one of the things I thought was really great was that normal people who aren't, you know, super rich they can get a new sleeve when they die, but they live out their whole, but it's like getting a new house. Like you don't get a whole bunch of them. You don't have like 10.
You don't get to just jump sleeves whenever you want to.
Right. So you actually pretty much wear out your sleeve via the old age process.
Yeah. And then, or you get killed in an accident or something like that.
Right. And the majority of people having to go through all of those phases, they tend to only go just like after two or three times. They're like, yeah, I'm good.
Right.
I'm out of here.
It's just stormy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Or they blow out their stack or whatever. And some people, like, it was especially mentioned in the show that it's like, oh, you were a victim of a crime. Well, the state's going to, you were murdered. The state's going to cover that. And the government's going to provide you with a new sleeve, but it's going to be like, you know, you're getting the I don't know, like the food stamp sleeve. It's just,
yeah, or it's, like it's, criminal yeah. sleeves. So like somebody,
yeah, the criminal sleeves, or yeah, oh yeah, yeah, they're repurposing like sleeves from people who've convicted of crimes, and
yeah,
and like, oh well, like someone commits a crime, like they don't physically go to jail. Their stack gets put in, like their consciousness gets put in storage, and their sleeve gets like recycled and given to someone else who can make better use of it.
Right. So you end up in this, you're another great thing that they explore in the book, or he explores in the book, is a female getting sleeved in a male body and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And what was it? There's another thing too. Yeah, there's like a scene. I can't remember if it's in the book because it was done up in great detail in the show for sure. I think it was in the book also. Mm-hmm. No, it was slightly different in the book. In the book, a guy's wife gets re-sleeved in a completely different body, but a female body.
Yeah.
In the show, they re-sleeve the wife in a dude's body.
Oh, okay.
And the husband is, you know, not super macho, but he's pretty macho. Mm-hmm. And here's his wife, who he's been just longing for, but it's a dude, but it's her, you know. And
right.
The actor, I just was so, it was, and this was in the show, I was so impressed with the way the actors handled it.
Yeah, I haven't got that far in the show.
Yeah.
But I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, now I'm spoiling the show for you, but
no, it's okay.
There was something. Oh, and there's like what?
Like in the show, I think there's also a kid that gets re-sleeved into an old woman's body.
Yes. Yes. What a, you know, like, and there were rules around
she's
it too.
She's like a 7-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, there were some rules about, oh, what was it? There was a bunch of legislation around what could be done. Mm-hmm. And what was deemed to,
like, some stuff is just too cruel, too emotionally traumatizing.
Right. Like one of the super rich people, at one point in a party, there's like this super rich, you know, party of super rich, and they're going around the room doing like a show and tell. Mm-hmm. And one of the ladies has a snake, and she sleeved a human in the snake's body. And he went insane.
Right.
And then when she took him back out and put him back in his regular human sleeve, he was insane. And like, right. There's, you're not coming back.
There's
from
laws
that.
Against that.
Yeah, there are laws against it. So she just put him back in the snake and left him there. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was like this super rich thing to do because it was totally illegal. And it was like, oh, but I can get away with it. And they just said no.
And they would have people in the fights. It was like a big entertainment thing, like fights to the death.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Cause they just, you know, put you in somebody else, put you in a clone, mm-hmm. clone sleeve or whatever.
Man, you're still getting like beat to death and dying.
Yes.
It's still gonna mess with you.
Yes. Yeah. And theoretically you'd have that memory, although you could just go to a earlier backup. It's like,
right. Yeah. But I mean, I got the sense that these weren't people that like had remote backups. They were just like, you know, just people that the meths were getting to fight for their entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it was pretty wild. There was a whole bunch of really, there was a lot of, let's just say Lady of the Evening related storylines. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of other stuff that probably I feel like would be a little bit too off color to talk about. But tons of stuff like that, like way kinky, like insanely, insanely bonkers. But like, yeah, there's the division between the meths and like everybody else. was gigantic, like that kind of like, you know, 1,000x the 1%.
Yeah, and I liked how they I liked how they did it in the show, and I don't remember if it was this way in the book. I don't think it was, but in the show, they like literally like castles in the clouds almost. Like,
yeah. Up,
yeah, like towering over, looking down on everyone below them.
Yeah, they didn't make it clear in the book, I don't think. It looks great in the show, but yeah, there was, you know, the Lawrence Bancroft guy's got this estate called something weird.
Sun Touch House.
And so it made sense when I saw it in the show, but I didn't mm-hmm. expect it. But it's this spire, basically, that pokes up through the clouds. And there's a, and now there's floating stuff. And now, but they're not spaceships, right? They're like.
No, they're like Zeppelins.
Zeppelins. Okay. In the show, it looks a lot more like a spaceship, though. So yeah. I'm like, I was kind of getting confused there. But yeah, I mean, like the technology that is featured in the book is crazy advanced, but it doesn't feel like it's
gritty.
Yeah, it's super, you know, like Minority Report gritty, Blade Runner gritty. Mm-hmm. It's not all clean white lines, you know, clean white surfaces in right. the future, like Oblivion or something. It's super dark. And in the show, there's like tons of blood and just like people, because mm-hmm. people don't really care about bodies that the way that we do.
Right.
You know, what are they? Organic death. That's what they call it. And, you know, if your body dies, you died of organic damage. And if somebody fries your stack, then you got RD'd.
You got real death.
Yeah. Death. I don't know. So I would definitely recommend reading or watching reading the books or watching the show. It was definitely good. It was really good. Well, hopefully anybody listening to this has already read the books and watched the show or is not planning to. But, you know, even if you haven't.
I don't think we spoiled too much of the plot.
Yeah, we really didn't. I mean,
other than the predictable part that you probably would have figured out in the first chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't.
It was still worth going from point A to point B.
Yeah. And you don't learn what he wants to forget until the very end.
Right.
So there's that. But yeah. And there's like tons of it's just tons of great writing. It's really good sci-fi stuff. I could have done without the couple of the sex scenes, but whatever. So you give it a 4 out of 5?
Yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5. I wish I could. It bugs me that I can't figure out why it took me so long to get through and why I could only take it in small pieces, because it's a good story. It's written. I really like the author's writing style. I don't know. There was just something about it, and I wish I could put my finger on what it was.
I almost want to read it now. That's like one of the things that I like about listening to books. Mm-hmm. Is that you can do it a bunch of times, like a movie.
Right.
Where with reading a book, it's like once every 10 years. I can't right. like reread. I just don't go back to the beginning. Like you get to the end, you go back to the beginning. I actually, when I was a little kid and I read Lord of the Rings, I actually did that. I got to the end of the book and mm-hmm. it was such, I mean, you got to remember, like this is pre anything. This was black and white TV era.
Right.
I got to the end of that and I missed the story and the characters and the world so much that
you read it again.
I went back to the beginning and I got like one chapter and I was like, I can't do this. you know? So.
Yeah. Like I re-listen to books. Like I've re-listened to all of the Expanse books. I've re-listened to The Martian and Ready Player One multiple times.
Yeah. I've listened to the entire Dresden series. I've listened to the whole thing twice.
Yeah. But usually with stuff like that, like with The Expanse, and I think I did it as well with The Martian. I think I did it with Ready Player One too. I'll read them first and then listen to the audiobooks.
Mm. Yeah, it's cool. I like it. It's like you can get more juice out of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get it in these different modes.
Yeah, it's funny. Like you're reading the text. It's like, okay, I'm reading the story. I'm absorbing the story. Listen to the audiobook. It's just, you know, I'm just going to be entertained for a few hours.
Yes, it's different. Cool. Was there anything else to say, do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of plot we could discuss, but I don't think there's any point. I think the most interesting and relevant things to the show, at least, are the technology and some of the implications of that. And I think we've got that pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was a perfect book for a TRD book club, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was. That said, I don't think I'm going to bother with the rest of the trilogy.
Yeah,
maybe if I get bored.
I love the writing and the technology and the concept, and I could care less about the characters. I just don't care about the characters, which is what pulls me into into the series with The Expanse and Dresden.
Yeah, and maybe that's Lord it. Maybe Rings. That's why. Maybe that's why I couldn't take it for very long at a time, because I didn't dislike the characters. I just didn't care.
You just don't care.
I wasn't rooting for any one particular one of them either. You know.
Yeah, the protagonist is not that likable.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they can't. It's so hard to kill them that you're hardly ever nervous about it.
Right.
So
like, there's not a lot of suspense in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's more in the show. They trump it up in the show because they realize that you need to have some kind of like threat, or it's just like whatever. He'll just show up in somebody else's body tomorrow.
Right.
But yeah, the characters are really not that. Honestly, I like the hotel the best of all the characters.
Right, and the book didn't feel like it doesn't feel like it's going to be one ongoing story. It feels like the trilogy is probably just three separate stories set in this universe with this character. It's reading the picking up a Jack Ryan book, and then you're going to go and read the next Jack Ryan book, and then you're going to go and read the next Jack Ryan book, and they don't really like you don't have to read them in any order or all together.
Right, right, yeah. That's probably the case, but it is a cool universe, so I could imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, if the second book had literally none of the characters from the first one, I'd be totally cool.
And
with
it was just set in that universe,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. It could be a completely new story, but with the same sort of premise. But where do you go? I mean, like felt like he explored it pretty thoroughly.
I feel like I was reading a synopsis for the next book, and I think all three of them are Takeshi, and but I think the next one is like off world something or other.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to explore the different worlds, which that could be interesting,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a lot of pull with the characters, like you said. So,
right. Yeah.
That said, it's rare that I read a book and go, I don't really care about these characters, but I still really like the book. Usually if the characters don't do it for me, then I can't finish the book.
Right. Yeah. Totally agree. It's just such a thorough, I mean, before I even saw the show, I was like, man, it's like a movie in your head. You can see all this stuff. He's just a really good writer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So good stuff. Definitely worth checking out. All right. Is that it for our inaugural? What season is it? Seven? Six?
Six, I believe.
Six, I think so. Yeah. So, well, welcome back.
You know, unless you want to do like Microsoft and Apple or something and skip a version number.
Goes through. This is season X.
Season 10. Yeah.
Anyway, whatever season we happen to be on, glad to be back.
Yes.
And dear listener, we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.